some individuals have a negative correlation with medication with their loved one. And so because they look on WebMD and they see, oh, look at all these side effects for this medication, I don't want my mom on it. And so we'll totally understand that. And we try to discuss other options, but if they're totally against it and we have circumstances where our platinum angels are physically getting hurt because of this individual being aggressive, then we can't take the chance of that person being physically aggressive with our other grandparents in our home. And so at that point, we have to give a 30-day notice to them.
I have a better option than the dinky RAL. Let me show you how to create a luxury new construction mansion of an assisted living. When I started out in assisted living, nobody had a roadmap for how to build and operate a luxury assisted living. I'm here to document my journey as I grow my business and provide you tips and strategies for you to succeed. Welcome back to Assisted Living Investing with me, Brett Schottkavis, and I have my wife, Laura, on with me today, and we're going to be talking about something kind of funny. We're going to be talking about how to kick grandmas out that are bad grandmas. Kind of funny, but seriously, we sometimes get some bad grandmas here. So I got Laura on with me to talk through, because we've kicked out multiple residents, how does this actually go, and when should you actually do it? So welcome to the show, Laura.
Hello there. Nice to be here.
Thank you. You've traveled very far to get here.
I have traveled far and wide. So it was a voyage.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, good to have you on. So let's talk about this. I think that is a question that people have is, you know, what happens if I bring on this grandma or grandpa and they have behavioral issues, right? Like we've all seen the movies and people have like the Tourette's kind of thing where they're like literally cussing all day long. And we've actually had that, right? And it's part of dementia and Alzheimer's where your mind does get stuck on a word and you say it over and over and over. And sometimes those are potty mouth words, right? Like, mm-hmm. And you just kind of yelled some different things. So we've had some grandparents that were not good fits for us. We've had some grandparents that were kind of violent. And what happens if you get a resident that you need to remove? So I wanted to bring this over to you, Laura. How do you pick what kind of residents you bring in, and then what happens if you make a mistake and you have a bad resident or your resident declines and can now no longer realistically stay with you?
So two things I wanted to say on that. The first thing is when you have a memory care mansion that is very popular and you have a wait list, you can be a little bit more strategic about who you place in your home. With that being said, not a lot of people have a wait list. A lot of people have open beds and they're kind of desperate, I would say, to fill their beds. And so they will kind of just intake anybody who comes in for a tour and says they want to live there. So I think you have the upper hand. If you have the memory care mansion, you have, you know, the beautiful 16 luxurious home. You have the upper hand there because you're going to get that wait list if you have that reputation of great care. So we, since we have that reputation, we are a little bit more strategic about who we place in the home. We do assessments on individuals who are planning to come into our home. And those assessments contain, you know, our managers going and visiting and just asking a few questions. And usually they're for about an hour just to assess if they're appropriate fit for our home. Again, our home is not for everybody. So I want to say that again. Our home is not for everybody and neither is your home. Your home is not for everybody either. There are certain people who will probably do better in different places. And I think that's something that should be said. And that's something that you should understand that, yes, your home could be perfect and it could be beautiful and it could be a memory care mansion and it could be everything that you would want in a home. But that doesn't mean that everybody else wants that.
So I want to jump on that because we've identified what our niche is, right? And we're very much the last stop, meaning that our grandmas are going to move in and they're going to be with us till they pass. So there are lots of grandmas who tour and they don't fit in. They don't feel like this is right for them. They're maybe 10 years too young, mm-hmm. right? That's usually the problem we have. It's not, oh, hey, my mom has dementia. Will she fit in? It's, oh, my mom wants activities and she needs to, you know, be stimulated all day long. And what does that look like? That's where it's like, well, with the other grandmas here, you know, they're in their mid-90s and they want to just chill and relax and watch some movies and take two naps a day. So knowing what this niche is, what your niche is, and really it helps us during the tour to say, okay, you're not a good fit. You're probably mm-hmm. not quite ready yet, because our focus is very much the end of life.
Yeah, I think what you were describing was more of an independent living situation where they can walk on their own, they go to the bathroom on their own, they can feed themselves on their own, they can, you know, go to activities. That's more of an independent living situation. Where we are, we're assisted in memory care, and predominantly memory care. So we have a lot of individuals, like Brett said, that come in that aren't a fit, and we are not the type of home to take you in no matter what, because we're desperate. Again, we have the wait list. We aren't desperate to place people. If we know that this person is not a good fit and they're touring and we happen to have an open bed like that just open up that day, we will give you resources where to go. We're not going to leave you empty-handed and wave goodbye saying, okay, see ya, you're not a good fit for us, go figure it out yourself. We want to be known as being a place that has referrals or different resources that we can give to the family. We don't want to leave them empty-handed. So yes, there's not going to be, when someone comes in, they're always going to be in our home. That's something that I think that most of y'all probably needed to hear, because not everybody's a perfect fit for your home.
And I want to stress, the only reason we say no is because we can afford to say no.
Yes.
Right? We have our beds full with the right niche, the right, you know, care needs with these grandmas and grandpas. And it's because of our marketing system, right? Mm-hmm. Because we have three tours a week and one on average, we're saying, hey, I want to move in. Mm-hmm. And we only need to fill 4 or 5 beds a year, right? So again, this goes back to the freedom that you have to make a decision best for your business if you have the wait list.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So who are the people that we've brought in? They've either been a good fit and changed, or we didn't realize that they were not a good fit.
Yeah, so I really want to stress that we're not the type of place that just, like, you know, kicks people out. I think we are the type of place that really wants to have that transition period. So if someone's living in their home for 40 years, we want them to transition into platinum. We want it to be as smooth as possible, right? But knowing there's going to be bumps along the way. Mm-hmm. So the initial, I'd say, 4 weeks of moving in are kind of rocky. There's a lot of getting to know each other. There's maybe some medication management that needs to be overseen a little bit better. There's just things that you learn about this new grandma, grandpa who's coming into your home. And so I think we're very aware of that the first 4 weeks are going to be a little bit rocky. But after that kind of sympathy paying, or is that what it's called? The first 4 weeks, there should be kind of a line where they kind of get into the groove, they get into the routine, they're on the medications they need, and they kind of just fall into place is usually what happens with most individuals. They like the routine, they get used to it. And so, but there are certain times when even after those 4 weeks, we've, you know, overseen their medications and we've gotten to know them a little more. There's still some times where there's still some behaviors that can happen, or maybe the family isn't on board with us and we don't see eye to eye with certain things that we want to incorporate with their loved one. And so there are certain circumstances where it's kind of we see that they're not a good fit and the family sees that they're not a good fit. And it's kind of just like a separation on good terms, I would say.
So let me dig in there, because there's a lot that you kind of talk through here. So two things I want to follow up on. First being that 4 week period, and then the second being working with the family. So the 4 week period, and you mentioned, hey, it's a little bit rocky. Can you break that down? What is it that is this transition? How are they getting into the routine, and, you know, when does it start to kind of loosen up, and what should people do practically during that to increase the, hey, let's get on the same page, get in the routine kind of thing?
It reminds me of dropping your child off at preschool, like that first day, right? It's hard. Like, you don't want to say goodbye and they don't want to see you leave. And it's hard for the first couple of weeks when you drop them off, because they know that they're going to preschool and you're going to be gone all day. It's very similar to that. And so there's that first couple of weeks where they want to see their family. They don't know what's going on. They wake up and they're confused. Or, you know, maybe they don't have any medications they're taking. And so they have these behaviors that are occurring that could be managed by medication. And so learning their behaviors, learning kind of what they like and what they dislike, all kind of takes place those first 4 weeks. And then them getting in this routine. We have a specific routine, and we've actually done a call on this. So look back onto the previous assisted living investing episodes where we talk about our daily routine. And so it takes a little bit of time to get used to that. Change, right? A lot of people don't like change, especially when you're older. You don't like a lot of change. And so their schedule will change. They need to get up by around 7 o'clock because everyone needs to get up and have breakfast at a certain time. And then, you know, we have an activity and then there's lunch. And so there's a specific routine throughout the day that they're not used to when they first move in. They're like, what the heck is going on? Why am I going to lunch now? Why can't I eat it, you know, an hour later? Or why, you know, do I need to go out to the living room? What if I don't want to go to the living room? What if I want to stay in my room? And so it's this whole learning the rhythm, I like to call it, the rhythm of the house, I think is something that just takes a little bit of time to grasp when they first move in.
For sure. So, okay, the routine, that I think you explained that pretty well. Talk about the behaviors. If you're new to this and you don't know what you mean by behaviors, what is it like and how many people have behaviors and how do you manage this potentially with the medications?
Mm-hmm. So with memory care, you have a lot of individuals who have behaviors, meaning it usually happens during an afternoon, which is called sundowning, is when these behaviors can come out. These behaviors include wandering, yelling out, like bursts, hitting, punching, hissing, biting, lots of different things that you wouldn't normally see, someone at like the grocery store doing. It's just a behavior that can be out of the blue. It could be something that gets triggered by something that you do. Say I approach somebody and I say it in a normal way, but it could be like a trigger for them. That's a negative reaction to something that happened in the past. And so then it just brings about the behavior. Maybe they start getting physical. Most of the behaviors I would say that are in a negative light are physical. So punching, scratching, a lot of these events can happen to our caregivers, to our platinum angels in the home. And so we want to create an environment where everybody is peaceful and happy, right? That's not just our grandparents in the home. That's also our family members of our grandparents and also our platinum angels or our caregivers within the home.
We talked about this kind of transition. So to put it in context, you got the medications that you're working with the doctor on, with the family to make mm-hmm. sure you're on the same page to kind of dial grandma in, mm-hmm. right? So that she's not having these behaviors at certain times of day. She's sleeping appropriately. Mm-hmm. And then just over the next couple of weeks, she gets into the routine, learns what the expectations are, and it kind of goes with the flow.
Yes.
Right. We want her to go with the flow, be chill, be happy, not over-medicated, not under-medicated, mm-hmm. but kind of living her best life at 95.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's one aspect of it. The second that you talked about a few minutes ago was the family and how important it is to be on the same page with the family for this transition, bringing on the grandma or grandpa. And so what happens if you are not on the same page with the family? You have different goals, so to speak. How does that play out to, you know, ultimately end up where you have to have a conversation with them that this is not working out?
So I think when the family realizes that their loved one has to move into an assisted living or memory care, I think that's really hard for the family. I think a lot of times when we have an individual move in, the family member is a lot of times in denial of the fact that their loved one has Alzheimer's or dementia. And so it's almost like an education experience for them too. So our managers like to educate the family on kind of the process and what's going on with their loved one in a way that's kind of like going through the back door. So you're not just like blatantly out in front, like, you know, your loved one has dementia. This is normal. I think that that's hard for a lot of individuals to hear. So I think once they get past that first, again, 4 weeks of kind of being in denial. Oh, my mom will be fine. Oh no, my mom doesn't have behavior. She's not aggressive. What are you talking about? Like, she's so sweet. A lot of times the family members don't see this behavior. And so when they hear about it, it's like heart-wrenching, right? Like, how could my mom act like that? Like, my mom isn't like that. She's a sweet pastor's wife. Like, she would never cuss and hit and scratch. And so it's almost like building trust too with the family because mm-hmm. in essence, we're on the same team. We're there to give the best care possible to their loved one. And I think that a lot of family members have been burned in the past by, you know, the big stinky facilities or whatever may be in the past. And so it's hard to create that bond of trust with them. And so that just takes time. It takes months and sometimes even years with some of these family members because they've been hurt in the past. And so building that trust, knowing we're a team together, if they're on board with that, makes it a lot easier to accomplish the goal of giving the best care possible to the loved one. If they're not on board with that and they don't trust and they criticize or, you know, say that we're giving terrible care and we don't really love their mom and whatever it may be, right? It could be because they're in the denial stage of what their mom is actually going through, or they just have a lack of trust and they just aren't seeing eye to eye with us, right? Mm-hmm. And so there have been a few times where that has been the case, where we're trying to give the best care possible and the family member just doesn't see it that way. And so we have multiple discussions before then with emails and in-person discussions as well with our physician assistant in there too, just to be sure that we're all on the same page, because we all have to be on the same page. It can't just be us and the family or us and the doctor. It has to be all three. It's like the triangle, right? Mm-hmm. We all have to be on the same page. And so there have been a few instances where we have not been on the same page, and it goes back to what we talked about in the beginning. We are not meant for everybody. So if they expect, you know, perfection all the time, we're not for you, because we're human and we're going to make mistakes. And so we tell our families that we're not perfect, and we will know and we'll acknowledge our mistakes and we will apologize and we'll do better. So I think it's also communicating with your families and letting them know that you are not perfect, but you're going to work together to achieve the best you can be.
Yeah. And I think that's really important for at least this model, right? When you're not big corporate and you don't know who the manager is or who the director is, or they change every 6 months, mm-hmm. you realistically have expectations that you can't get handled. You can't have a one-to-one conversation. Here's what's going on with my mom. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, again, we're with Platinum, right? Like, they can see us, they can email us, right? Like, we're available. They can obviously talk to the management first and then it'll move up the chain to us. But if we made a mistake, we'll acknowledge it and we're able to, you know, have this one-on-one conversation and say, okay, yes, here's what's going on with your mom. We can do better in this area, or mm-hmm. we can make these type of changes to help.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so we've had to kick several people out over the last few years. Give context. Why have we had to kick some of these people out, and, you know, how do we actually go about doing this?
So we give a 30-day notice to individuals who we have tried everything possible to get on the same page with them, and it just doesn't seem to be working out. It's almost like the lines of communication. I think it's just we provide an appropriate amount of communication, but I think that they just don't understand where we're coming at, because, again, I think that trust isn't there yet. And so there'll be many meetings in person and online and with the doctors. And if they still aren't wanting to change their personal behavior, because a lot of times it's medication related is really what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's some individuals have a negative correlation with medication with their loved one. And so because they look on WebMD and they see, oh, look at all these side effects for this medication, I don't want my mom on it. And so we'll totally understand that. And we try to discuss other options, but if they're totally against it and we have circumstances where our Platinum Angels are physically getting hurt because of this individual being aggressive, then we can't take the chance of that person being physically aggressive with our other grandparents in our home. And so at that point, we have to give a 30-day notice to them.
Yeah, for sure. So it may surprise you if you're new to this industry that grandmas, right, 80s, 90s-year-old will get violent. And again, it's not them anymore. It is mm-hmm. the disease that has changed who they are. And so you have the sweetest old ladies who at certain times of the day just become a little bit...
Yeah, different. It's yeah. very different. When you get hissed at from an individual who was giving you a hug like 5 hours ago and like holding your hand, and then it's just an interesting experience. I think that if it's your own loved one and you haven't experienced it yourself, you don't really understand.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. So then from that perspective, from a business owner's perspective, like, we have to protect our grandmas, protect our business, protect our caregivers from getting scratched or spit on, or because sometimes the grandmas or grandpas, they'll use words to the caregivers to be hurtful, right? Mm-hmm. Describing them pretty negatively. And so we've gone through this transition period, right? This 4 weeks, and there's so much grace, and we're trying to work together with the family and the doctor to put the resident first and put them in a good spot. But ultimately, if you are standing out and you can't get with the flow after a certain amount of time, and you're potentially being physically violent or verbally abusive, then it gets to the point where, hey, you're now not a good fit. Like, we've tried and tried. It's been enough time. And now it's time to have this harder conversation with the family. And we'll sit you down and we'll say, hey, you know what? We don't think your mom or dad being here is the best place, right? We recommend going over there. You know, you can have better care in for their needs, whatever they need here. They may need more one-on-one care. They may need a different environment, but ultimately it can't be here. So legally, right, we have a month-to-month contract. And all we have to do is give them a 30-day notice. And they can give a 30-day notice to us if they like to also. If it wasn't a good fit for them, they can't. We ultimately have a conversation with the family and say, hey, this is just not in your mom's best interest. It's not a good fit for one reason or another. We're giving you a 30-day notice. You know, please let us know what you need in order for us to help you with this transition. Because ultimately, they're going to move to some other assisted living, something else like that, most likely, and they're going to need the medications transferred. They're going to need all the different paperwork transferred. So we're happy to assist with all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely a hard conversation, but I think being a business owner, you have a lot of those hard conversations in general. So it's just adding another one to the list. But I think that you've had so many conversations with the family before that they're kind of aware of what's going on. At least they should be. Don't just hold all this in and not tell the family about it and then all of a sudden just give them a 30-day. That is not appropriate. Don't do that. You need to be sure you're communicating effectively with the family and with your PA to make sure you're all on the same page with this. Your PA actually might suggest going somewhere else too. But what I would suggest is being a resource. You want to be sure that you are a resource of information for this individual so that you're not just giving them a 30-day and being like, all right, peace out in 30 days, like making sure that you're checking in on them still, that you're reaching out to your resources in the community and being like, hey, I have an individual that needs placement. Do you have an open availability? Like, you actually helping as well, not just like placing it all on them. I think that's what makes us different too, is we're not just going to tell you to get out and then not give you anything as well. Like, we want to help you as much as possible throughout the whole process. So making sure that you are a resource with the family and making sure that you are communicating appropriately and effectively to the family and the PA, and that you're documenting all this as well. So it's in their folder. So you have a document of all the sources of communication that you did in the past with this family.
Yes. Okay. So documents, very important on all the different attempts you made to get on the same page. The other part of this legally from a document perspective is your lease, right? Mm-hmm. Go through and make sure, what can you do in your lease, right? Mine is very simple. I've made sure it was super simple that I can ask you to leave. Mm-hmm. So we have the option to give you a 30-day notice. We also have the option to give you a 3-day notice if you violated the lease in some type of circumstance. So some of those might be aggression, right? Mm-hmm. We've actually had to give a 3-day notice to a gentleman before for physically harming someone. Mm-hmm. So those are circumstances that come also. And, you know, this gentleman, gosh, he was a bigger guy, right? Yeah. He was what, like 6'4"?
Yeah.
Big man. And he literally tried to break the arm of one of our caregivers. Mm-hmm. And I was standing right there across the room and watched this whole thing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, he's literally like twisting and turning and like has the mean face, like, I'm going to hurt you.
Yeah.
And man, we ran over and pulled her away and stopped that. But ultimately, this was not a circumstance where we could give him a 30-day notice, right? Like, this was not an isolated incident. He had, you know, behaviors from his aggression from his dementia, and he could not be around the other grandmas, right? Mm-hmm. Like, my literal grandma was like 102 at the time and sitting one chair over from him, right? Mm-hmm. And like, dude, there's no way you can be in this house anymore. You got to go. Mm-hmm. So in that circumstance, we literally called 911. Mm-hmm. Right. The police or the sheriff came out, but then also the ambulance came out, and we had him not arrested, but transported to the hospital. Mm-hmm. Right. And they're going to do an assessment. They're going to see what's going on. And ultimately, we called the daughter, and she came out during that same time. Right. Mm-hmm. And we just said, hey, here's the 30 day. I'm sorry, this is not working out. Here's what happened with your dad. He's going to the hospital. Ask them for where you can t- take him to, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to have case managers there. He cannot come back here. Even though I'm giving you a 3-day, I'm telling you, he can't come back here, mm-hmm. right? He's going to hurt one of these grandmas.
Yeah.
And now, you know, you have some, at least a few hours and a couple resources. The hospital will have a discharge person who can help you with where do I take dad next?
Mm-hmm. So with your assessment, before you have someone move in, you're going to do an assessment. And I think I have such a hard time with these assessments because, of course, when you come visit this individual in their home or wherever they're currently placed at an assisted living or wherever else, you're always going to visit them at like a time where they're going to be perfect. They're going to be super sweet and they're going to be kind and they're going to be engaging with the family and they're going to be engaging with other people. And it just seems all so great, right? And then, you know, you have this person come into your home and then it's a different story. And so I wouldn't be so hard on yourself, I think, because a lot of times people are hard on themselves, like, oh, how come I didn't see it in the assessment? Like, you're only visiting this person for 30 minutes to an hour. And you're not going to see, you know, the bad side or the side of them that they don't want you to see. Mm-hmm. And so I wouldn't be so hard on yourself if this does happen. And it probably will happen to you if you own an assisted living. There's going to be many circumstances where the person just isn't a perfect fit for your home. And that is okay. I'm here to tell you that it is okay. Not everybody is going to be a perfect fit for your home. And so just be aware of that coming into this.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, thank you for coming on, Laura. I appreciate you sharing behind the scenes on this. What is it like kicking out a grandma or grandpa? Mm-hmm. And honestly, sometimes you just have to do that kind of stuff. So thank you for joining us. I want to encourage you to join our group. We have a Facebook group called Assisted Living Investing Memory Care Mansion. And myself and Laura are on there. We're sharing a lot of behind the scenes items, how to do all sorts of different things, showing you more of the day-to-day operations in the assisted living. What does it look like? And so you get to see firsthand what are all the tips and strategies that we implement. So I will see you on the next one.